Good morning, church. Today's scripture reading is taken from Exodus chapter 33, reading from verse 7 to 23. Exodus chapter 33, verse 7, the tent of meeting. Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the camp, all the people would rise up, and each would stand at his tent door and watch Moses until he has gone into the tent. Verse 9. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship at each at his tent door. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses turned again to the camp, his assistant, Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Verse 12. Moses' intercession. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you said to me, 'Bring up these people,' but you have not let me know who you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight.' Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Verse 15. And he said to him, "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? This is not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth." And the Lord said to Moses, "This very thing that you have spoken, I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." Moses said, "Please show me your glory." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." Verse 21. And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Shall we stand for the Gospel reading? The Holy Gospel is taken from the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, beginning from verse 12. Glory to Christ our Saviour. John chapter 15, 12 to 17. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another." And this is the Gospel of Christ.
Praise to Christ.
Please be seated as we invite our preacher, this morning, Pastor Stanley, and I have said we only introduce guest preachers, but he is one of us.
Let's look to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Dear Lord, as we come into your very presence in this place, we want to pray that you help us to sit at your feet. And as we look up at you, open our eyes to see you, open our ears to hear you, and open our hearts to receive all that you want to say to us. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Very good morning to all of you, my dear friends. It's really lovely to see all the familiar faces once again. And I want to thank Pastor Victor for allowing me this opportunity to come and share with all of you the Word of God for today. Perhaps I can start with a very brief word about my own spiritual journey in these last couple of years. And hopefully that will kind of explain why I felt led to share with you today on this topic of intimacy with God. Now, I'm currently about halfway through my 5-year Doctor of Ministry program that focuses on the subject of spiritual formation and spiritual direction. And I'm really enjoying the studies. But more importantly, the studies have allowed me the opportunity to look more closely at a basic and foundational aspect of our Christian life. And that is our relationship with God, our relationship with God. And it's very encouraging and heartening to look at how Christians through the ages have related to God and how they have experienced Him. And it's also very enlightening to understand the different ways in which Christians have learned to commune closely with God over the last 2,000 years of our church history. And that is very much where I sense the Lord is leading me into in this current season of ministry. And that is to come alongside others, to guide them into knowing and experiencing God more deeply and more intimately, both through the Word and Scriptures, as well as through spiritual practices like contemplation, retreats, pilgrimages, spiritual direction, etc. And that's why I felt led to share with you today something that's close to my heart, and I believe it's close to God's heart as well. Something that perhaps not many of us think a lot about, but at the same time, it's something I'm quite sure most of us do look for deep down in our hearts. And so what I'd like us to focus on today is intimacy with God. Intimacy with God. And what it means to be friends with Him. And I'd like to start by asking you this question. Now, what comes to your mind when you think about intimacy with God? I mean, what kind of picture best portrays for you what intimacy with God looks like? Well, for me, when I think about intimacy in the Bible, I think of the disciple John, the one who wrote the Gospel of John. Now, he's often referred to as the beloved disciple, or the disciple whom Jesus loved. And we are told in John 13 verse 23 that he was the disciple who leaned against the bosom or the chest of Jesus at the Last Supper. Now that for me is a picture of what it means to be intimate with God, to be in His presence, being close to His heart and close enough to hear His heartbeat. And John must have been intimate with Jesus probably because he knew that that's the only way to respond to a God who wants to be intimate with His people. And that's what scripture shows us about God. God's desire to be close to His people can be seen right from the first book of the Bible. So in the book of Genesis, if we look closely at chapter 3 verse 8, We can see that after God had created Adam and Eve, He was walking intimately with them in the Garden of Eden and in the cool of the day. But of course, that intimacy with God was between God and our first ancestor was lost when Adam and Eve sinned and they hid themselves from God. And so their communion with God was broken. Well, God did not let their relationship remain that way. He redeemed the situation and He also restored their communion. And that has been the story ever since in the rest of the Bible and for the rest of the history of the world. Now, coming back to the disciple John, I'm quite sure that he also learned about the intimacy that God desires for His people through the stories that he heard Jesus told. So, for example, the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. Well, we all know, right, that the father in this parable was meant to represent the heavenly father. Now, the father had never wanted for the prodigal son to leave home, because home is where they can continue to enjoy an intimate relationship. But instead of enjoying the intimacy that was offered to him, the son turned his back on the father, left home, and left the father totally heartbroken. He severed his relationship with his father and he went on to live a life of sin and wasted away all his inheritance. But you know what? The father never gave up. The father never gave up on the son all this while. We saw how he waited and waited for the day when his son would repent and come home again. Well, the son did return. And what we read about in that very touching scene between father and son when they were reunited and reconciled. Now, that for me is one of the most beautiful pictures we'll ever get of the kind of intimacy God desires to have with His children, even for those who have broken communion with Him. Now, let me now read for you something which pastor and author Tony Hosford has written. Listen to these words, which I feel captures beautifully how God is always inviting all of us into this relationship of intimacy with Him. So let me quote what he wrote. Jesus invites us into a living relationship. And this invitation is a call to intimacy, to closeness, to oneness, and intimacy is what the Christian life is all about. It is a love relationship, and we are called into friendship with the one who is the lover of our souls. Unquote. So what I would like to do in the rest of the sermon today is for us to look at a character in the Bible who understood what it means to have such an intimate relationship with God. We're talking about Moses. Moses is someone who has personally experienced an intimate friendship with God. And so what I hope as we listen to his conversations with God is that we will not only understand what it means to be intimate with God, but it will also inspire us to desire for that deep and intimate friendship which God wants to have with each one of us. Okay, so first point my sermon is this. Intimacy with God, it's about becoming friends with Him. Intimacy with God is about becoming friends with Him. And to fully understand this point, we need first to also understand this. Becoming friends with God is really something God Himself has always desired. Let me read for you this quote from William Barry. He's a Jesuit priest who has written many books on this subject of friendship with God. And this is what he said in one of his books. Let me quote him. What does God want in creating us? I believe what God wants is friendship. God has, from the arrival of human beings, wanted our friendship. And as a result of that desire, deep in the heart of every human being, is a reciprocal desire for friendship with God. Well, my dear friends, this idea of God really desiring to have an intimate friendship with each one of us, this is not a sentimental or some kind of romanticized idea that's concocted by somebody. No, it is a fact. It is a fact which we can find in many parts of the Bible. In the Gospels, for example, Jesus declared this divine desire, not only to just his disciples who were with him, but also to all of us who are called his disciples. Listen to what Jesus said in John 15:15. And this is, of course, from our gospel reading for today. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Now, this desire for us to become friends with him can also be seen in the Old Testament. In fact, the Old Testament highlights two particular characters whom God specifically referred to as his friends. First person is Abraham. And in Isaiah 41 verse 8, we find God calling Abraham what? My friend. And James in the New Testament also talk about this. And in James 2:23, he told us, he record for us that Abraham was called a friend of God. Now, the other person is, of course, Moses. And this is what Exodus 33:11 tells us about Moses. Thus, the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And likewise, in another part of the Old Testament, book of Deuteronomy, we are also told this fact about Moses and his intimate friendship with God. Deuteronomy 34 verse 10 tells us this. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. So, what is it about Moses and the way he relates to God that makes him like, you know, the Old Testament poster boy or like the model of what an intimate friend of God looks like? Well, from Exodus chapter 33 and 34, as well as Exodus 3, chapters where we find God or Moses talking with God, I think it's obvious that what makes Moses' friendship with God most intimate is the amount of time they spend together. In verses 7 to 11 of Exodus 33, our Old Testament reading, we find Moses in the tent of meeting, right? Spending the time alone with God almost throughout the day. And then in the next chapter, Exodus 34 verse 28, we are also told that he was alone with God on Mount Sinai for a period of 40 days and 40 nights. In fact, Moses was so immersed in the presence of God, we are told that his face was shining when he came down from Mount Sinai. And this is what verse 29 tells us, that the skin of his face shone because what? He had been talking with God. And so, my dear friends, it's very clear from Moses' example that God does take great delight in being with us because an intimate friendship is what he really desires. Now, when it comes to our part of this friendship, we also would need to understand this, that intimacy with God can only come about when we are willing to set aside the necessary time on a regular basis to be in his presence, to enjoy his company, or simply just to converse and talk with him. Now, if I can put it in stronger terms, it would be this, time together with God is a non-negotiable. And there's really no other way, my friends, if we want to cultivate and maintain an intimate friendship with God. Now, besides spending time with God and really enjoying God's presence and company, I think another thing that makes Moses' friendship with God very intimate is how he would always talk to God about everything. And that is what good friends do, isn't it? Well, if you take a look at all the conversations he had with God in the various parts of the book of Exodus, you will notice that Moses was very honest with God concerning how he felt about things. Take, for example, the conversation that he had with God when God wanted him to go back to Egypt to lead the people out of Egypt into the promised land. If you have read through Exodus 3 and 4, you would have seen how Moses told God as honestly as he could how he felt about himself and how he felt that he really cannot make it. Well, of course, we all know what happened after that, right? God was able to convince him and he did lead the people out of Egypt. But throughout the whole journey, right from Egypt, into the wilderness and all the way right up to before the promised land, Moses never stopped conversing with God. And he was telling God about everything, including how he felt about the people of Israel. Now, on one occasion, when he got so tired of the people's complaints, he actually said this to God, and this is recorded for us in Numbers 11, verses 15 to 11 to 15. Let me read for you the Good News translation. God, why have you given me the responsibility, this responsibility for all these people? I didn't create them or bring them to birth. Why should you ask me to act like a nurse and carry them in my arms like babies all the way to the land you promised to their ancestors? And God, where am I or where could I find enough meat for all these people? They keep whining and asking for meat. I can't be responsible for all these people by myself. It's too much for me, God. Now, if you're going to treat me like this, have pity on me, Lord, and kill me, so that I won't have to endure your cruelty any longer. Whoa, I don't know about you, but personally, I think this conversation sure has a lot to teach us about how we can be honest with God, isn't it? I mean, the fact that Moses was able to pour out his heart and told God as honestly as he could about how he felt, I think this can only happen because of how Moses sees God and how he views their relationship. You see, the fact is that Moses saw God as his close friend. And so he was confident that it was okay for him to talk to God like that. And Moses also knew that God himself would have wanted him to be totally open to God, just like you would do the same with a close friend. And that's really the hallmark of an intimate friendship, isn't it? You know you can pour your heart out to this someone who's willing to listen. And you know that this friend appreciates you telling him or her everything and not hiding anything from him or her. And so, church, perhaps this is a good moment for you to just pause and ask yourself this question today. Now, how have you been relating to God all this while? How have you been relating to God all this while? I mean, is God someone impersonal and distant to you? Someone you only come to when you need his help, but for most of the time, you hardly talk to him because you just don't involve him very much in your life? Or do you see him, do you see God as a very close friend? Someone you will always set aside time for, to talk to regularly. Not just about your needs, but really about everything that is in your heart. And that's what I want to encourage all of us to learn to cultivate. Okay, make it a habit to tell God about everything. And I want you to know that you can do that with God because God is someone who's really interested to hear about what you're going through. He's interested to hear about what you are feeling, what you're thinking. And nothing is ever too trivial for Him. So learn to tell Him about your week, your dreams, your fears, your decisions, your discouragements, etc. But more importantly, make it a point to always tell God what you feel about Him and how much you love Him. Okay, point number two is this. Intimacy with God is about relating personally with Him. It's about relating personally to Him. And this is where I like us to understand what it means to relate personally to God as a friend and not functionally as a servant. Now, if you take a look at the other parts of the Old Testament, you will find that Moses is sometimes referred to as the servant of God. Okay, take, for example, Numbers 12, verses 7 and 8. And this is where we find God speaking to Aaron and Miriam. And this was what God said to them about Moses. But not so with my servant Moses. Of all my house, he is the one I trust. I speak to him face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the Lord as he is. That's from the New Living Translation. Now, you can see from this passage in Numbers 12 that while Moses is still a servant, in a sense that he has always served God as his master and Lord, but that does not take away the fact that Moses is also more than just a servant in the eyes of the Lord. He is a friend of God, not only because God trusted him, but also because God relates to him differently from the way a master relates to his servant in those days. I mean, you can tell from the kind of conversations that they had that God relates with Moses in a more personal way. And God is certainly much more open with Moses. And so I believe what Jesus said in John 15:15 can be applied to Moses. And it's not unreasonable to imagine that these words that Jesus said are also relevant for Moses. So no longer do I call you Moses, my servant. For the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you Moses, my friend, for I have made known to you what is in my heart. Now, personally, I have actually been reflecting on this point for quite a while, on this whole matter of what it means to relate to God more like a friend than as a servant. You see, not too long ago, my spiritual director was sharing something with me that's related to this point. And what he shared not only caused me to think more deeply about how I relate to God, but it also affected the way I pray and commune with God. And basically what my spiritual director, his name is Dr. Alex Tang, what he shared with me was this. He said that as he entered into his 60, and that was timely because I'm in my 60 now, he noticed that God was doing something specific in four particular areas of his relationship with God. And one of these areas has to do with how God is teaching him and forming him from being a servant to becoming a friend of God. And the reason why God is doing this in his life, Alex said, is because God wants to grow him in intimacy with God. And as I reflected on what Alex shared, it dawned on me that God is really more interested in my intimacy with him than my service to or for him. And I realized that this was an area of my walk with God that I had struggled with for the longest time. You see, for the last 20 years or so, especially during the time when I was working here as a pastoral staff, I was relating to God more as a servant than as a friend. To me, God was like a master to whom I was answerable or accountable for everything that I did since I'm an employed pastor, right? I mean, I was paid by the church and we are always told that God is the big boss. And so when I spent time with God in prayer, what occupied me most of the time were concerns that were all work-related. You know, a lot of my prayers were about asking God for help to solve the problems or the challenges that I face in ministry, particularly, you know, all the black sheep in ministry. And very often I would come to God with a shopping list that's dominated by all kinds of petitions and intercessions. And then on those occasions when I do take a break from bombarding God with all kinds of prayer requests, I would do a kind of like work reporting to him, you know, updating him on whatever work I've accomplished or completed or whatever work I'm still doing. Like the way a servant would give an account to his master for everything that he's been tasked to do. And that was how I related to God. And that was how I prayed. And prayer time for me was very functional and transactional. Because there was always an agenda when I come to God. And there were always business matters that I needed to settle with him. And so my prayer times were more like opportunities for me to get something out of God. And it's always about me asking, getting, and acquiring. And all that started to change when the Holy Spirit led me to this verse in John 15:15. And through this verse, I was reminded that God has always desired that I come to Him as a friend more than as a servant. And I also began to resonate with prayers that I come across, which highlight God's desire for a friendship. So for example, there's this prayer that I come across in a book by Strahan Coleman. He wrote this book called Beholding God, Deepening Our Experience in God. He wrote this, and that I could identify with that. He said this, "I beg you, Lord, for employment. You offered me friendship. I assume your distance, but you presume our intimacy." And this reminder was further reinforced when I came across a quote by Teresa of Avila. Her words reminded me that I needed to start seeing Jesus as my friend, even as I continued to examine the way I was praying and talking with God. And this was what Teresa of Avila said. Prayer is nothing else than being on terms of friendship with God. Wow. Prayer is nothing else than being on terms of friendship with God. And so I have been learning to relate to God more personally as a friend and less functionally as a servant. And what that meant for my prayer life is that I'm learning. I'm learning to enjoy His presence and company more. And taking time to listen to what is in His heart, while also sharing with Him freely and honestly what is in my heart. Now, at this juncture, I think perhaps it's important that I also make a clarification here about the way we pray. Now, friends, I'm not saying that we cannot come to God with our prayer requests, with all our intercessions and petitions. Of course, there is a place. There is a place for such kind of prayers. But what I'm saying is that those should not be the only type of prayers that we bring to God all the time. And also we should never come away with this idea that, you know, we come to God with certain kind of prayer, and if we can master them properly, the prayer, or pray them correctly, then God will surely have to answer these prayers. You see, my friends, praying to God or conversing with Him, It's not really about technique. And it's never about whether we are doing it correctly or not. But the problem is many of us are actually brought up, right, with that kind of teaching, where prayer has often been taught as a technique to be mastered. And so many Christians hold this belief that the effectiveness of their prayer is largely dependent on how well they can master prayer as a method. Well, I hope you realize by now that such kind of attitude towards prayer is actually, it amounts to treating God more like an impersonal machine than God as a person. And really, it's quite an insult to God and to who He is. To think that just because we pray in a certain way or use the correct words, then God has no choice but to automatically answer our prayers. You know, like as if we have pressed the right buttons on a vending machine and the answers to our prayers will automatically pop out or get dispensed like a drink from the machine. Now, that's not how prayer works, my dear friends. No, prayer is about communing with God. It's about relating personally to this someone who's a living and personal being. And so never forget that prayer must therefore flow out of our relationship with God. It's a relationship that is personal, and it's a relationship where we can relate to God personally and where we can talk to each other as friends, and particularly as intimate friends. Okay, final point, intimacy with God is about knowing and being known by God. Now look with me at our passage in Exodus 33. And let me read for you parts of that passage, verses 12 and 13, 17 and 18. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up these people. But Lord, you have not let me know whom you will send with me. And yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me your ways, that I may know you, in order to find favor in your sight. And then in verse 17, the Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you have spoken, I will do. For you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. And Moses said, Lord, please show me your glory. Now, did you notice that the word know occurs both in what God said to Moses, as well as in what Moses said to God? In verses 12 and 17, we are told that God said this to Moses, right? I know you by name. You have found favor in my sight. Now, what God is saying to Moses here, according to one commentator, is this, that he is pleased with Moses. And Moses is special to him. And so they have this special relationship with each other, as can be seen by the intimate conversations that we just read, right? Now, in saying to Moses, I know you by name, God is also saying to him, Moses, I know you very well. And not only do I know your name, I know who you are. I know what you are like. And I know everything about you because I made you. Now, as I reflected on what it meant for Moses to have God tell him that he know Moses very well, I'm reminded of another passage in the Old Testament where the writer was also reflecting on the same point. The passage I'm referring to is Psalm 139, a psalm that's written by King David. Okay, it's a psalm that describes David's amazement at how God knows every movement, what we're going to say, what's in our thoughts, what's in our heart, what we feel, etc. And if there's a phrase to summarize what this psalm is all about, I think it would be this: Lord, you know me so well. Now, Psalm 139, together with Exodus 33 and 34, and together with Isaiah 43. Now, these have been some of the passages that I have gone back to over and over again over these last many months. And these are scriptures that really helped me to understand what it means to be friends with God and what it means to be known by God. And what I would like to do now is to share with you the prayers that I have journaled or wrote to God as I reflected or meditated on these passages. And as you listen to the words of these prayers, I hope you will it will help you to also appreciate how precious it is to be known by God intimately, and how wonderful it is to be treated as His friends. And I also hope that you be inspired to set aside some time on your own with God to converse with Him about these passages and perhaps to thank Him for His friendship. So let me read to you my prayers. God, you have always known me, and you know me so well. And Lord, no one knows me like you do. And so because of that, nothing about me surprises you. What I do, how I think, what I feel, why I'm like that. And this is really comforting, God, because I know I won't be misunderstood by you. But it's also scary because you can see right through me. And I know I cannot pretend before you. But it's good, Lord. It's good that I can be totally honest with you. I want to be an open book before you, hiding nothing from you and giving you free and total access to my soul and my heart. And Lord, thank you. Thank you for knowing me, knowing my name, knowing my face. I am not anybody to you, and I'm not a nobody to you. I'm not faceless, and I'm not nameless to you. You don't look past me like as if I don't exist. I am somebody to you, and I matter to you. And nothing about me is too trivial for you. And for that, Thank you, Lord. Thank you that I am known by you. Now, my dear friends, being known by God is what makes our friendship with Him special and intimate. And as we saw in Moses' relationship with God, Moses himself also desired to know God in return. And that is why he said this to God, Lord, show me your ways, that I may know you. Verse 13. And show me your glory. Verse 18. That I may see your face. And this desire to know God, to behold His glory and to see His face was also the prayer of another friend of God, someone who is also known for his intimacy with God. Now listen with me to the words of Psalm 27, a psalm that's written again by King David. Listen to his prayer about beholding God and about seeking the face of God. Verses 4 and 8. One thing I ask from you, Lord, and this only do I seek, that I may dwell in your house all the days of my life, and to have the opportunity to gaze, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to be able to seek you in your temple, in your presence. And then verse 8, Lord, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Now, as I close this morning sermon, I would like us to take some time to look into our hearts as we come before the Lord right now. God is inviting us. God is inviting us into a friendship of intimacy with Him. What is your heart's response? What is your heart's response to this invitation? Do you also desire to have this intimacy with Him? To draw close to Him? To constantly be in His presence? To relate to Him as a friend? To be completely open with Him? And even as God knows us so well, He is also inviting us to get to know Him well, to get to know Him more deeply. And so, is your heart willing to also pray these same words that both Moses and David said to the Lord? Show me your ways, O Lord, and show me your face, dear God. And so as you ponder over God's invitation to you this morning, allow me to close with this song. And as you listen to the words of this song, may these words be your response to the Lord as He leads you. Can we have the song?
Show me your face, Lord. Show me your face. And gird up my legs, that I might stand in this holy place. Show me your face, Lord. Your power and grace, your power and grace. I can make it to the end if I could just see your face. Moses stood on the mountain, waiting for you to pass by. And with your hand over his face, in your presence, he wouldn't die. All of Israel saw the glory, and it shines down through the age. Now you call me to boldly seek your face. Show me your face, Lord. Show me your face. And gird up my legs that I might stand in this holy place. Can make it to the end if I could just see your face. Show me your face, Lord. Show me your face. And gird up my legs that I might stand in this holy place. Show me your face, Lord. Your power and grace, your power and grace. I can make it to the end if I could just see your face. I can make it to the end if I could just see your face.
Dear Lord, you are God who sees everything. You can see what's deep down in our hearts. And Lord, I know that for many of us here, those words that we have just heard are our very cry. That God, we desire too to be in your presence. We desire to enjoy the intimacy with you. God, you are God who knows everything. You are fully aware and perhaps sympathetic as well with the struggles we face. As much as we want to, Lord, to enjoy that intimacy with Him, with you, we struggle. And so, Lord, today as we hear your heart's cry, we want to also echo our cry and say, Lord, help us. In a world that is full of distraction, demands, and often it's also due to our own lack of discipline and maybe motivation, remind us gently, prompt us, Lord, each day as you open that invitation to come to you and just to enjoy that moment of sweet fellowship with you, of intimate friendship with you. So that's our prayer, and we pray that, Lord, as we come into your very presence, we will know you more and more, and we'll continue to be fascinated and amazed at what a God you are. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.